The Conference Committee for House File 2244 will come to order. I'd like to thank everybody for being here this evening. And before we get started, going on the side-by-side comparison and walkthrough, I'm going to ask that Senator Cruz go ahead and introduce the members he's got in the conferees, and we'll do likewise on the House side, because not everyone may know each other, just because we may not be on similar committees and things together. So I will turn it over to Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To my left here, I have Senate staff Greg Marcus. Very appreciative that he's able to join us. Senator Jen Olson is not going to be with us this evening, but she will be able to make our next meeting tomorrow morning. I have Senator Tom Bach with us. Very happy that he's able to join us, as well as Senator John Carlson and Senator Dave Thompson, and also Senate staff Greg Hunt.
Thank you. And on the House side, the CA for the House is Jody Withers, who's to my right, and then Representative Denise Dietrich, who will be here. I just saw the door open. Maybe she's making a grand entrance. Nope. And then next to Representative Dietrich is Representative Carol McElfatrick, and Denny McNamara, and Steve Simon. And what I'd like to do at this point is ask Janelle Taylor from House Research to go ahead and walk us through the side-by-side. And members, inside your packets that you have in front of you is the side-by-side, and we were kidding before that there might be a version where you may need your reading glasses and a version where you may not need your reading glasses. I ask that you go ahead and locate that, and at this time I'll turn it over to Ms. Taylor for a walkthrough.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to be working from the revisor's side-by-side. There's also a bill summary side-by-side, and I'll briefly go over that later. On R1, and Senate staff can kind of jump in if I gloss over anything, but I'm just going to go through it since most of the provisions are House provisions anyway. Section 1 on the Senate side, as part of the Senate bill, they established a new school trust lands advisor. This section would limit the salary to 85% of the salary of the governor. Sections 1 on the House side, Section 2 on the Senate side, was sort of a technical correction related to the change in the permanent school fund advisory committee. The House bill would change this committee to a legislative commission, and the Senate changes this committee to a legislative citizen committee later on, and this would change the names here. Section 2 is regarding the forest, the school trust lands being certified against for the forest costs, certified against the permanent school fund. And on the House side, school trust lands would be excluded from this. On the Senate side, if you turn to page R2, protection costs would be removed from certification. Then it also requires presentation to the commission by the DNR and a sort of an analysis to be done. And then there's some clarifying language to state that this would just be applicable to the DNR on the House side. Sections 3 and Senate Sections 4, you'll see the more technical clarifications to reflect the change in the committee. If you turn to R3, the Senate, because they're not changing the administration of the school trust lands to a new board that you'll see later on, they instead would require the commissioner to resolve conflicts when the long-term maximization can't be done, and it also requires reporting. On the bottom of R3, this section removes the authority of the DNR to accept gifts on behalf of the permanent school fund. This is later assigned to the new board that's created later on in the bill. Section 5 gives the authority for the new board that would be created to appraise school trust lands. Section 6 on the bottom of R4 and continuing on the top of R5 would give the new board authority to exchange school trust fund lands. Section 7 would remove the DNR's authority to offer for public sale school trust lands. Section 8 would remove the school trust lands, the revenue that generated from minerals, from being deposited in the minerals management account. Moving on to R6, Section 9 and Section 5. Again, these are sort of technical changes related to the board versus the new commission. Section 10 and Section 6 on the Senate side, this is where the change to the existing permanent school fund advisory committee would take place. The House position would be to change that committee to a 12-member legislative-only commission, six members from each body with three from each party, or minority and majority, whereas the Senate would change it to a legislative citizen commission. And then if you look at the bottom of R6, you'll see the appointment process continuing in R7 of the public members, two by the Senate, two by the House, two by the governor. And then there'd also be legislative members, four members from the Senate, two from each party, and then four members from the House, two from each party. The bill would also outline, the appointment process for our legislative members and the terms and compensation. If you turn to R8 on the very top, you'll see on the House side 632-633, the legislative or coordinating commission would be staffing the House, the new House commission, whereas the new school trust lands advisor would provide staffing for the Senate's legislative citizen commission. On R8, there's also the duties are modified. On the House side, the new commission would make recommendations concerning the asset allocation of the school endowment. You'll see on 6.24 on the Senate side that the new legislative citizen commission would manage the asset allocation of this permanent school fund. The Senate also establishes new conflict of interest.
Mr. Chair, that wasn't quite right, because if you look at the, it actually, they're really doing the same thing, only you got the word recommendations in twice. On 6.14, this line of clauses may include recommendations too, and then 6.24 is manage the asset allocations. You also say make recommendations, so it's actually just in twice on the House side and then once on the Senate. They're still making recommendations, not managing.
I stand corrected. Sorry about that. Moving on then, as I was saying, the conflict of interest provisions are established on the Senate side. They'd also require open meetings. A new open meeting provision for the new commission. On the House side, the Section 11, this establishes the policy and purpose of the new board and the new director. Page R10, this provides definitions for the new board. It defines board, director, and school trust lands for purposes of these new sections. Section 13 establishes this new permanent school fund board that would be required to now administer the school trust fund land starting in 2014. It'd be a five-member board appointed by the governor with confirmation by each body. And then if you'll see on lines 8.24 through 8.27, the expertise that would be required, including renewable or non-renewable resource management, real estate, business, and similar things like that. There, on the bottom of R10, you'll see the conflict of interest for the board would be established. And that continues on the top of R11. Section 14 on the House side establishes the duties of the board, and this requires them to manage the school trust lands and also allows them to contract with the DNR for those services. Section 15 on the House side, Section 7 on the Senate side, this establishes policies for the board. It requires the board to establish some policies for the director, the new director that would be staffing the board. And then on the Senate side, it would require the commission to recommend policies for the new advisor and the DNR. On R12, you'll see additional duties for the board and director. And these are different than those that, since the DNR will still be managing the school trust lands and the advisor would be recommending to the governor, whereas on the House side, the board and board would be developing policies. Subdivision 3 would continue DNR policies until they were changed or repealed by the board. Subdivision 4 on the House side allows the new board to accept gifts on behalf of the permanent school fund land. This is the new language since it was removed from the DNR earlier in the bill. Section 16 on the House side and Section 8 on the Senate side, the House has the new director that's selected by the board, and the Senate has the new school trust lands advisor that's appointed by the governor. And then on the you'll see subdivision 2, there's compensation that the board is allowed to establish the compensation. And you'll remember earlier that the school trust lands advisor's compensation was limited by that first section in the bill. Moving on to R13, the Senate allows the school trust land advisor's cost to be certified against the permanent school fund. Section 17 and then subdivision 4 on the Senate side establishes the duties of the director in the House and then the duties of the new advisor on the Senate. Then moving on to R14, the top of there is just some additional duties of the director. Section 18 would require the AG to represent the board or the director or the administration relating legal actions on the trust fund lands. Section 19 would allow the board to enter into land exchanges for school trust lands. Section 20 this moves the management of forests and minerals management authority to the new board. Section 21 establishes a school trust land suspense account. And then Section 22 would require a legislative audit of the board beginning July 1st of 2019. And then Sections 23 and several sections following, because the school trust lands will now be administered by a new board, there was question of whether or not PILT payments would still be paid since PILT is required by statute to be paid on lands administered by the DNR. So the Sections 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28... and 28 would make technical changes and establish a process so that the board would certify the amounts that would be required to be to pay the PILT so that the PILT would stay the same as it is now on school trust fund lands. On page R18, section 29, this would transfer the assets and responsibilities of the DNR regarding school trust fund lands to the new board. Section 30 would require the new board to meet with the DNR and sort of discuss the contracts that they're allowed to do. Earlier, you saw that they were allowed to contract for services. This would require them to meet with the DNR and discuss these, and including any fees that they would charge for these services, and then report back to the legislature. And then Section 31 would require some recodification of statutes, and then also require the reviser of statutes to meet with the DNR and sort of identify any statutes that would need to be reconciled against the new because of the new transfer of authority over school trust lands. And I stand for questions. Otherwise, I can go very quickly through the bill summary.
Any questions at this time for Ms. Taylor on the side by side? Seeing none, why don't you proceed with the report?
And now I'm going to be working on the document that looks like this. It says Bill Comparison Summary. And this is sort of a side-by-side summary of the bill, and I'm not going to go through it because it's very similar to what I just stated, but I would just point that if you look through, there's the middle column, and this either outlines that there isn't a comparable provision or there shows the significant differences between the House and Senate, and there aren't any, at this point, any same or similar provisions. They're all either House-only, Senate-only, or very different provisions, just given the nature of the two models that the House and Senate came up with. So stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Questions for Ms. Taylor on the bill comparison summary? Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What level of questioning do you want us to go into right now? I have a question about the about a provision in the Senate bill, and I'm just wondering, do we want to get into that level of questioning? You don't know what level I'm asking.
Yeah. Representative Dietrich, thank you for the question. what I guess I'd like to do at this point is, if we're getting into some specifics, we're still kind of doing the overviewing, and part of that overviewing process is, why are we here? And I want to talk a little bit about that, and I'd also like to hear from, as Senator Cruz and I have talked about, we are interested in hearing from the Department of Education, the DNR, and then we're also interested in hearing from the School Board Association, specifically Grace Hellerhurst, and she has been involved in this, just to give some reaction to this. And I think that the latter part of the committee this evening will have a chance to dig in deeper on provisions and things. Does that seem consistent with what your question might be?
Yes, what would really benefit me is if each of the chairs, and this might be tomorrow morning also, is you go through your each bill as to how you see them working, you know, type of thing. So, because it's really about I see the language, now how does that work? So if I think that would be extremely helpful for myself anyhow. And then I don't have to bore you with questions. You'll take that. I know. Okay,
I was going to say your questions would not bore us, but in expediting time, I think that's probably what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Does that sound like we'll probably just wait until that tomorrow and we can move to that level. Again, as I said, if there aren't any questions on the bill summary or the side-by-side comparison, I would like to invite, I see we've got Mr. McHenry here from the Department of Education. Perhaps he could come forward and offer a few reactions, and Mr. Cordy, you're here as well, to come up and others to visit with us on the bill. Good evening and welcome to the committee. If you would, just state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jesse Montano. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Education. And to my right is Dan Cordy, who is our government relations person, who I believe has been monitoring this bill. These are funds that are certainly very important to the school districts in Minnesota, and the Department of Education is certainly very supportive of good management and oversight over the funds. But we are not experts in this area. And so it's very difficult for us to say which of these proposals is, you know, provides the best management and the best oversight.
Cordy.
Mr. Chair, members, again, Darren Cordy. I work in government relations at the Minnesota Department of Education. I also am the department's representative on the School Advisory Council, Permanent School Fund Advisory Council. As Deputy Commissioner Montano said, we are very supportive of all the work that you've done on these bills, and that I think that we are all in agreement that you know, better management strategies and increased transparency, increased revenue generation are all agreed upon goals. But as she said, you know, as to whether this plan or a plan that has been set forward brought by the commissioner of the DNR to the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, whether, you know, which one of those paths is the best to take. Those are land management issues, which we don't really feel qualified to weigh in on what the best course of action would be.
Thank you. Do any members have questions that they'd like to ask the Deputy Commissioner or Mr. Cordy at this time? Senator Cruz, go ahead.
Well,
and then Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and this could be for either of the testifiers. I guess my question is, without delving into the specifics of land management, and maybe this is better suited for Mr. Cordy with his experience with the advisory council, you know, after we went through the side-by-sides here and just your experience on that advisory council, you've seen the way the process is currently working. What, if any, recommendations would you have for this conference committee about things that would be beneficial in the final bill or things that you think may have minimal impact in the final bill? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cruz, I do think that just kind of in the process that we've gone through since I've been on the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, which is admittedly been a short time, about 6 months, I think that we've heard plenty of testimony on both sides, again, from proponents of these types of this type of legislation, as well as what the DNR had been suggesting, that there does need to be a dedicated either person, board, that is overseeing these funds, as opposed to it just kind of being in the larger scheme of things at the DNR. Now, again, whether or not that could be accomplished through the person that the DNR had suggested hiring in there. In the commissioner's suggestions, or it's something that a larger suggestion like what the House and Senate have put forward here, not really sure which of those would work best. But again, I think just increased oversight and you know, having a single person or entity that's dedicated to these funds and these lands would definitely be something that we would support.
Senator Cruz, follow up. Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to, first of all, thank each of you for being here, and I really appreciate the representation from this commissioner, from the department, at the advisory committee in the past year. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I think it's really important for members to know this, that up until a year ago, we really didn't have any representation on the advisory committee from the Department of Education, and that is specifically in statute that we are supposed to. And so I want to thank you, and I thank you very much for participating in these conference committees, too, because you're right, this is a really important issue that we're talking about, because each of the children in this school children in this state have been left a trust fund, and it's called our permanent school fund. And up until 5 years ago, a lot of children in the state didn't even know that they had one, but they do, and it was our founding fathers who thought public education was important enough to get finance it in today and into the future. So thank you so much. I do have a question, and it is, does the department get, I realize that you don't want to get into land management, and actually when I first started this 5 years ago, I didn't either, but do either of you, or does the department get the biennial report from the DNR on the school trust lands? And that's not in the land management, it's just basically what they spent and what they earned.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dietrich, I'm not sure. I know that our school finance folks, you know, are the ones who are responsible for distributing these funds to the districts. Whether or not that comes in the form of a report from the DNR, or if, you know, it's something that we get that from elsewhere, I'm sorry, I couldn't speak to that. And I don't think we have anybody here from our school finance department at this time. That's something I could try and get an answer for you, you know, by tomorrow's meeting.
And, you know, the
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, in fact, the answer isn't even all that important. It's just that, you know, right now we are taking a look at the whole structure and where are the holes in the structure. And I think that that is a note that we should all be making, that some way or another the department from today on does need to be a little bit more engaged in what the reports and what is happening. And then I do realize that your department sends out the payments to the schools twice a year, and we should be actually, I'm just going to take this moment to say, we should be better communicating with our schools and our business managers and those type of people, that these are trust fund monies, and they, you know, and where they come from and how they are managed, and just to keep educating the public and the education community, because they have been left out of the loop as far as the whole management of the school trust lands. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Cordy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dietrich, absolutely. I had spoken with Representative McFarland, who, as you know, chairs the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, and we've been in conversations about, after the session wraps up, however this legislation or other legislation regarding the lands would pan out, we'd be sure to pass that information along to the school districts and the superintendent's letter and make sure that that information is available on our website.
Thank you. Other questions for either the Deputy Commissioner or Mr. Cordy at this time? I guess I would just, if there aren't any from members, what I would like to just leave you with is the reason that we've asked you here this evening, and we've had some other conversations with the Commissioner herself on this, and she's been very willing to have a conversation with us, is threefold. Number one, this is an education issue, because the money that's generated from these properties by our Constitution is set forward to help those students. The Department of Education clearly is the entity that's responsible for helping us to further education causes. Secondly, here's an opportunity for us to be able to help do some planning with the department. on some long-term objectives, and so we felt it was important to hear from you, which brings us to number three. If there are things, and I respect the fact that you're not land managers and asset managers and things, but if you can talk more about the activities that you would like to see for some of your long-range planning that may be able to come as a part of this. A few years ago, we separated out reducing general fund monies by the amount of payments that were made to school districts, by the amount of permanent school trust money that they've made. If we're successful in this endeavor and can grow the corpus and grow the dividend payments from that asset for the students in the state of Minnesota, that certainly is going to be of a benefit to the million plus students, and we just feel you need to communicate to us what your needs might be as we're at this crossroads. So with that, I'm going to toss it back to you to see if there's anything that you would like to leave us with that we should be considering from your department's perspective at this time.
Mr. Chair, I think that the commissioner certainly would be delighted to provide some opportunities, you know, to do some long-range planning. I know we have some initiatives that are underway right now, and while I can probably spout a few here and there, I think we can probably get you a few of those, that list that she would like to zero in by tomorrow morning. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to do some long-range planning, because we certainly have a number of initiatives that we have on the front burner, but I would rather have her pick the one or two which she thinks would be better suited for this.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, with the thanks of the committee, thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And at this time, I would ask, I see that we have Commissioner Landry joining us here this evening. I ask the commissioner to come forward and appreciate you taking the time to be here with us this evening.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Landwehr. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I've testified in front of many of you already, so what I have to say you may have a familiar ring to it. But I want to first off start by saying I very much appreciate the focus that this discussion has brought to both the school trust lands management issue, as well as to the beneficiaries of the school trust. I think it's always good to have step back and take reflection and take stock of how things are going and improve where possible. And I do think it's fair to say that in the past, the co-managers, the co-trustees have lost focus, and I think it's important that we maintain focus. Having said that, Mr. Chairman, I've sent out to all of the committee members, I believe in the past, reservations or concerns about both bills. I'm going to pass that out to again. These are letters I sent to committee chairs previously, both with respect to the House version and the Senate version. And I'm not going to go into great detail on these. I do want to just summarize by saying that I do have some very serious concerns with the House file. It has a number of very major proposals in it that would drastically change the management of school trust lands. It would create a new agency, no doubt about that. It would separate 2.5 million acres of management from the department, put it in another agency, which I think will decrease efficiency. I think it will increase costs without any discernible way to increase revenues. And I think it just is a less efficient government than what we are currently providing. I think the Senate version provides perhaps what is most being demanded here, and that is some third-party objective accountability. I think much of what I hear right now is related to people not believing what the DNR is saying with respect to trust land management, or thinking that there's something being hidden, and there's no third-party objective entity out there that can say, yes, this is going well, or no, this is going wrong, and here's how we presume to fix that. So I think the Senate version in that regard is good. It gives us that level of accountability and comfort with the outside viewer. And I think the Senate version also incorporates some language that deals with conflicts that people have stated they believe might be there, because they believe the department's mission is too conservation oriented, not enough economic development oriented, and therefore we can't possibly maximize revenue on trust land. So I think the conflict resolution language in the Senate version helps us deal with some of those questions. I want to assure you that the department takes its role very seriously. I, as a commissioner, take my role very seriously as the trustee of the school trust lands. We have done a lot in the last 14 months since I've been appointed to improve the management of school trust lands. One of those is the creation of an operational order that I think highlights a lot of the or brings to the surface some of the concerns that have been raised in the past, and allows us and requires us at all levels within the department to respect and acknowledge the purpose of the trust lands and do the right thing with trust land management. Operational order goes beyond my administration, so it does bring that same sort of focus to future commissioners as well. The last thing I'd offer is we last had a legislative audit in 1998 with respect to the school trust lands. That audit did not suggest any huge changes, and a number of the small changes that it made, we have made. The audit did not suggest it was inappropriate for the department to not manage these lands, or it was inappropriate for the department to manage these lands, I should say. And I believe that we've done a number of the improvements that the audit called for to make the trust land management consistent with the way the auditor recommended. The legislative auditor has released his new slate of audits for the coming year, and among those is the program audit of the trust land management under the Department of Natural Resources. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would offer that I think with that audit coming, it would be wise to wait and find out if the auditor says something is broken here, because we have not, other than some sort of anecdotal evidence, heard that anything is broken and that there is something that needs to be fixed. And I think the auditor can be the third-party entity to evaluate that and assess that and give us a recommendation. So I think we have good measures in place to find out what's wrong, good protocols in place to do better, and welcome the opportunity to look for additional ways to do things better in the future. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have.
Commissioner, thank you for being here again with us this evening. I will go on record again tonight, as I have every time you and I have had the opportunity to be at the same meetings talking about these. There is no way do I lay the issues that we have at your feet personally. You, as you said, assumed this role 14 months ago, which is roughly the same time that I assumed the role that I have now as an elected official in the Minnesota State Legislature. And I also say that it took us 150 years to get where we are, and there's plenty of partisan blame to go around and different configurations of who was in the governor's office and who was commissioner and who was controlling which body of the legislature. But I do believe that the legislature, by the number of votes that were put up in the House and the Senate on this topic, although there are differences between the bills, the legislature does want to undertake and deal with this issue. So I think, as you point out, that there may be anecdotal evidence, I think the legislature feels that there is more than anecdotal evidence that they want to undertake. So I don't want us to lose track of that as well as a part of the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner Landwehr. I want to start off by echoing the chairman's comments. Thank you very much for being here. It has actually been a pleasure working with you throughout this process, and I've appreciated it very much. And I know that at times, just like the chair had mentioned, that this seems to kind of be crashing down on you. And rest assured, that's not the thoughts of this body. We understand that there has been many, many opportunities to fix this in the past that have been missed opportunities. But I think it's important to remember, and I did appreciate your comments. I hesitated a little bit when you spoke of the auditor's report and waiting for this next auditor's report to come out. I humbly disagree with you. I don't think we can wait for that. I think the school trust land program is something that should be continually audited. There needs to be a high level of oversight, and I think there's enough evidence present right now that something needs to change structurally in the way this is handled, that it's prudent for the legislature to move forward as we are right now. I agree with you wholeheartedly in your concerns about the accountability factor. I think that's where we need to start. We do need to introduce some level of accountability and oversight over these trust lands. There needs to be a specific person that is in charge of this and dedicated strictly to that. I think the difficulty we're finding here is this is a big job. This is a really big job to manage these school trust lands. And I think what's happened historically is we've asked, commissioners to take on this job and with maybe not the proper staff to do that, and I hope that we can come to some sort of agreement right now with this infrastructure around this table so that we can make that happen. I also, you know, in the past, and you didn't mention this in your introduction today, but in the past, I know you've had a concern about bureaucracy. We don't want to increase bureaucracy. I agree with you on that as well. I think that we can do some systemic changes here and also not increase bureaucracy, government, whatever you want to call it. I appreciated what you said as well about the Senate language, and I do have a question for you. You know, you and I have spoken about this, and I'm hoping that you could take this moment to maybe go into a little bit more detail about the specifics that you like about that. But even more than that, you know, I had asked at one point, how would you implement those things? I think what we're seeing right now is we'd really like to have an action plan in front of us, because even with all due respect to the operational order that your department has put forward, there are many folks that feel like in that operational order exist many things that should have already been done and that were already able to be performed statutorily, but they weren't getting done. Again, this is not to lay the blame at your feet. There have been predecessors that have not done this as well when this legislation was passed. So my question is, with that on the mind, what is the action plan moving forward? If you're saying that the Senate language is something that you can work with, how would you implement that?
Commissioner Landwehr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and there were several questions under Senator Cruz. So I'm going to try and start back at the beginning. And first off, what are some of the things that are in the Senate version that are good? And I want to go back to the advisor that's identified in the Senate version. The advisor, as it's stated in the Senate version, is somebody that is neutral from DNR. It actually sits in MMB, is supervised by MMB, but is that neutral party that can sort of review the activities, without, you know, if there's a DNR sort of allegiance that people are suspicious about, this person would not have that. This person would be able to look at the activities the department is doing, you know, again, point out, sort of like a legislator, sort of like an auditor, point out deficiencies or improvements that need to be done, can provide to the legislators in particular the assurances that things are being done right, or the corrective actions that need to be taken in order to make sure that things are done right. So I think this is the sort of a internal auditor, external auditor, if you will, that can provide that level of comfort that I don't think is there right now. And honestly, many of the folks around the table have spent many, many hours looking at the complexities of not just trust land management, but the accounting that goes behind trust land management. And it is not a simple thing. You know that. Representative Dietrich knows that. It is not a simple thing. It is very complicated, and it is hard to convey in a one-page fact sheet or a five-page report, you know, what is happening and why it's appropriate, and what could be done differently. It takes somebody with real internal knowledge to understand that, and that's what I think this person can do. Their soundbite will be one page or five pages, but it won't be coming from the Department of Natural Resources, and I think that is where the value is really provided. Having a third-party objective reporter looking at what's happening and coming back and advising you as to what needs to change, I think, is most important. With respect to implementation, the operational order, a couple things about it. First off, it does actually, there is nothing in there that is fundamentally new. What it does is it puts in one place either some of the practices or some of the understandings that people have had for a long time. The thing that is new in there is the fact that we do suggest that there be somebody in the department who is a trust land administrator. That is new. But the practices in terms of dealing with conflicts of land use, philosophy in there that this is maximized for long-term revenue, those are not new ideas within the department. As an example, we have done many exchanges with respect to trust lands that are located in parks, trust lands that are located in other non-conforming uses, if you will, for trust lands. And as you all know, many of you know, we're working on a large land exchange with the U.S. Forest Service for trust lands that are in the boundary waters. So a number of things have been going on. It's not as though this kicks off a new bunch of activities. This encapsulates many of the things that are going on, but codifies it in a way that everybody in the department, all 2,700 employees, have, you know, one place to go to when they need guidance on trust land management. So, so that, you know, we just signed that in January or February, so it is a new document. But we are talking now, how do we roll that out to staff? How do we make sure that everybody gets this? And we've got a plan in place to roll that out so that all of our staff gets that. In terms of how implementation then looks, first off, I believe that we are in the beginning of revising our forest management plans. The most cited criticism that I've heard about the school trust lands management is that we get 20 cents on the dollar of net revenue from gross revenue. In other words, we generate a dollar, the trust gets 20 cents. That's the most criticism I've heard levied about the school trust land management. I've pointed out that that is twice as good as a private company, Potlatch, gets. But still, that is a statistic that alarms people. We can manage, we need to be managing trust lands differently than non-trust lands. And that has not happened in the past. We are going into a new forest, we call it a subsection forest resource management plan. It's a technical jargon term, but it dictates how we will manage lands going forward. Those plans are going to reflect the fact that trust lands will be managed differently than, say, acquired natural resource lands. And that is, that's going to be happening immediately. Trust lands will be managed differently. Trust forest lands will be managed differently. We do need an individual that has on their mind trust land management 24/7. That could be the advisor in the Senate version. We had proposed before the session started, and we're holding off on that because of the discussion here, about having a DNR trust administrator. We should have one person. Right now, Assistant Commissioner Mary McConnell is handling virtually all of this, and it's a big load, as you've said, and we need to get somebody in place who can do that. In the absence of having a trust advisor on the outside looking in, and maybe in addition to, we need to have a trust administrator and inside working with our own staff. So that will be happening, you know, depending the outcome of this bill. We are continuing to proceed with the BWCA exchange. In fact, in May 7th, I'm going to Michigan to meet with the Regional Forest Service director. May 8th and 9th, I'm going out to D.C. to visit with the entire delegation to talk about the importance of this exchange and to seek their concurrence and their financial assistance on it. So we're proceeding with that 86,000-acre land exchange, possibly the biggest low-hanging fruit there is in trust land management. And continuing to look, we're also putting together an inventory of other lands that are within the school trust system that have opportunities for other for sales or exchanges because of their proximity or their value. So, and I believe we put this calendar together already, Senator, and I thought you had gotten a copy of it, but it is laying out how we intend to proceed, you know, from this day forward, from last January forward, in terms of moving the ball with the school trust land management.
Senator Cruz, follow up.
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner. When comparing the Senate and the House language, theirs is set up a little bit differently. They have a board and they have a director who has that oversight. So when you speak of that third-party external source, I'm sure there's many folks around this table that would argue they have that present in the House language. Mm-hmm. I guess what that boils down to me is, when looking at this legislation, do you see it as necessary for the teeth, the accountability factor, to remain within the Department of Natural Resources, or is this something that you would see it being wise pulling these lands out and having a third party with that same outside oversight type person there? They're going to argue that's present in this, that the only difference is it's not under the Department of Natural Resources. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's, frankly, quite a huge difference there. An auditor looking in and evaluating what's going on is a relatively low-cost way of assuring efficiency. Splitting 2.5 million acres off of a portfolio of 5.5 million acres and then having a different agency administer that is not the way I would argue to get to accountability. It's a way to, you know, increase inefficiency, definitely. It's a way to increase expenses, definitely. It is not, in my mind, the best way to get to accountability, nor is it, in my mind, the best way to return more money to the trust.
Senator Cruz, follow-up? We'll go to Representative Dietrich and then Senator Bach. Representative Dietrich.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually feel like I should let Senator Bach go first because I'm going to touch on one of the things that he pointed out to me when we first started down this path about 4 years ago when we had the Awareness Committee. Do you remember that, Senator Bach? And you were the one that you came faithfully and had some really good input for that committee. But first of all, I just have to comment on a couple of things. First of all is, Commissioner, you talk about an advisory model quite a bit and that you prefer the advisory model. I would have to just for, because this is public and this is on tape and for and many members of the public, and maybe there are some of you here at the table that don't know this already, but we already have an advisory model in place. It's called the Permanent School Advisory Committee, and they are to be advising the DNR. There are many times, well, the Legislative Audit Report has called it neither comprehensive or complete, their advice in their meeting, in their ability to be a good advisory body, and has strongly suggested either doing something about that. And the example I just want to bring up, because I heard something, and I sitting on the advisory committee for quite some time now, I'm a little, this is the first time that I've heard this. You are talking about a land exchange in the Boundary Waters Canoe area, and the advisory committee has recommended a land swap sale. And so I'm just a little concerned, and I know that there are certain people within the legislature who are now reassessing and think that a land swap would be, I'm sorry if I said sale before, but land swap would be the best way to go. And now I just heard you just say that you are pursuing the land swap, and the advisory committee has been very clear about the land sale swap.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I apologize for my shorthand. We are still proceeding with the current model of one-third land exchange, two-thirds land swap, or excuse me, two-thirds cash. That's the agreed upon approach with the U.S. Forest Service, and that's still the way we're proceeding. I call it land exchange just as a way of shorthand, but it is a exchange and sale. And I know that there is interest, at least by some members of the legislature, to proceed with a 100% land swap. I personally don't think that that is something the U.S. Forest Service is going to agree with. I think we need to make whatever gains we can in this transaction, and I want to proceed on the one-third, two-thirds as expeditiously as possible so that at least we can move the ball to the 10-yard line. To your earlier suggestion about the advisory position, I'm just using it. That's the Senate version. I'm just saying that the Senate version calls for an advisor, and I'm just suggesting I think that is a good model.
Okay.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And since you referred to the Legislative Auditor's Report, I'm sure that you've read it, as I have several times, and I just need to point some things out in the audit report and then make a comment about it afterwards. I just have a couple of examples. For example, in the Legislative Audit Report, they said they noticed that the DNR had a land lakeshore lease account, and that some of the money from lakeshore leases went into the lease account, and then some of it went into the forestry account, so that lakeshore leases were subsidizing the forestry industry in regards to school trust lands, and that should be changed. And that is one thing that has not been changed. They strongly suggested the buyout or the exchange of the Boundary Waters Canoe Wilderness area. And that has been going on now for 30 years. And thank goodness we had Senator Wieger, actually, who spearheaded a couple of work groups. And the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Work Group, which I was on originally, started and really got serious about that Boundary Waters Canoe Area land sale swap. They cited, the Legislative Audit Report cited that this fire suppression formula was too high, and that it should be revised. And, you know, I will say that has been changed in the last couple of months, not 20 years ago when the legislative audit report came out. And the other thing in the legislative audit report, it said that we should not go to a minerals, and this is where Senator Bach comes in, go to a minerals management account, because they said you can't really, well, I don't want to quote the report, why, unless I have it to that page, but they said that we should not be going to a minerals management account. And what did we do in 2007? We set up a $3 million minerals management account for the DNR to access. So I just have to say, and I have to say it publicly, is that I don't totally believe that all the issues in the 1998 auditor's report have been addressed and have been addressed fairly. There are, they talked about the buyout, the land exchange and buyout of the wildlife management areas. I think we have 150,000 acres, at least in designated area, that cannot be, that nothing can be done on the land, no revenue generation, nor should there be any revenue generation on those lands. But they still, they comment in the legislative audit report that the DNR is very slow to do it, and in fact they have different priorities. So I don't share the thought that everything has been addressed that is in the legislative audit report. And so I just want to make sure that I say that publicly. And the other thing is that to wait for a new report, the legislative auditor staff called when they were getting ready to make their proposal to the group of people that they have to make the proposal to. And they say in this report, in the 1998 report, and they say for the future, it would be very difficult for them to really figure out if the forestry management expenses were real forestry management expenses on our school trust lands, that it would be practically impossible to really come up with whether that is right or not, whether those are real expenses. You know, like the MMB, they can figure out, are they legal, or I shouldn't even say figure out, they look at the category but by the DNR, and they determine, are they legal or not? So I just have to respond to those two pieces of information brought forward. But so with all due respect, I just would, I don't think that we can necessarily totally hang our hat on the auditor's report and a future audit report. Thank you.
Mr. Landwehr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I just want to clarify that the department has done everything, I think, that we can within the auditor's report that's under our purview, but most of the things you mentioned, if not all of them, require legislative activity. For instance, the fire suppression costs that are ascribed to the trust are done so by statute. The minerals management account and the appropriation to the minerals management account is done by the legislature. The incompatible designation, for instance, the Red Lake peat bog has an SNA designation that was applied to it by the legislature, not by DNR action. So if there are activities that can be done by the department consistent with the legislative auditor's report that have not been done, I welcome to hear those, because I will make sure that they happen.
Senator Dietrich?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I mean, you just merely need to read the report. It has lots of different details in it about different things that could and should be done. And I think, and of course, they write it just presuming it's going to be done, and this was way before your time, so it's very, and in fact, when I first came here, I didn't know there was an audit report done on the school trust lands until I just happened to come across it. But it is frustrating to read it and see that that it was written in 1998, and there are still the same issues going on and the same questions that we have, you know, in 2012. And I just have to also make one other point, is that in 1981 there was another audit report done. So, and then in 2010 there was another audit report done, and that one reported that the DNR is acquiring land at a very rapid pace. I don't know if that's the right word, but. And they still don't, and they have no way of knowing how they are going to pay for the land that they're acquiring and a long-term management plan. So then I just ask myself, as trustee for the school trust lands, then shouldn't or couldn't we at least have our own trustee managing our own land when other states have been able to do it and do it very successfully? And, Mr. Chairman, if I may ask a question of you, would you please just quickly address then, the commissioner talked about a lot of the things that I just talked about were legislative, and so what do you bring to the table as far as a legislative perspective on how to monitor legislation then?
Representative Dietrich, I'm not exactly sure I understand the question. When you say monitoring legislative...
Mr. Chairman, what part of the bill takes care of the legislative type of initiatives that...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...that
yeah.
are related to school...
Yeah, it would be the commission that we're talking about that would deal with the... and the House version of the bill would deal with the issue similar to what the Pension Commission does, that there's a bipartisan and bicameral representation. All of the issues that dealt with school trust lands would come to that committee. There would be a hearing and a omnibus bill be put together and then brought around to the different committees that would be affected by that. And our view, as Representative Dietrich was indicating, and the rationale for that was that it actually be easier for you and others who would ultimately end up administering this, because you had one-stop shopping. You weren't chasing around the different pieces of legislation for different committees. You have that common landing pad. And just about the week before we went on the Passover Easter recess, we had four or five different bills on the floor that members were talking about that dealt with trust lands, and each and every time that came up, I stood up and reminded members that is something that we are dealing with over here in 2244 and how important that is, and there was kind of a hush that came over the House at that point as people were reflecting on the fact that, yeah, that's right, these are just kind of everywhere. We need to have that kind of common clearinghouse. I'm not sure if that's what you were looking for, Representative Dietrich.
Thank you.
Did you have any other follow-up? That
just one last comment is... even in many times when these pieces of legislation have been in different committees and there are different issues kind of hanging out there that we've had now since at least 1998, some 1981, we just feel like there is no, that a trustee would be actively out there pounding the pavement every day saying, you know, I am the trustee for the school trust lands and this is a breach of trust. We should not be doing this. We give the money to the schools and then we subtract it from the general fund. That is not the way our founding fathers envisioned this. And just constantly with that message in your face type of continual reminder that this is a trust fund. This isn't a discretionary fund. This isn't when it's convenient we will address these land issues. There have been many times that these pieces of legislation have been up in committees, and nobody from the DNR, and this is before your time and during your time, nobody from the DNR has ever come up and said, as trustee, this move would not be a good move. We have mining leases that have been before the state, and nobody is there saying, remember, right now you're acting as the trustee, and you are to make different decisions on state lands versus public school lands.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm here to tell you today that this legislation is bad for the trust and the designees.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Commissioner, I don't think you heard your response.
That if nobody has been before you to talk about legislation that is bad for the beneficiaries, I'm here to tell you today that the House file is bad for the beneficiaries.
That's not what they saw on YouTube.
Let it not be said in the future that the commissioner never came forward and said it.
Representative Dietrich, do you want to respond to the commissioner's assertion?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Cruz, to the issue, because the next speaker is, or next testifier, or committee member, rather, is going to be Senator Bach.
I know. Need to get to Senator Bach. I just wanted to get one point very quickly on the record that... Commissioner Land, where you had addressed that there's you felt like you had accomplished everything you could accomplish that auditor's report had put forward, and I think it's important to get on the record that some of those things that you mentioned specifically, a great example of this is the fire suppression. There is permissive language in statute that allows these things to occur, but it is not mandated. So respectfully, I would say that there could have been changes made without legislative action on items like that, and I just thought that was important to get on the record.
Commissioner, just one other item, and then I'm going to go to Senator Bach. You had suggested that in committees that I had been at that you would welcome an audit on this, and I literally took you at your word. Mm-hmm. And when we were looking at submissions on that, I shared with both the House Republicans and the House Democrat, mm-hmm. and Representative Dietrich as a very close DFL co-author on the House version of this bill. We shared that, and it did rise rather quickly to the top of the list. And I was approached by representatives from the Legislative Auditor's Office saying, well, Representative O'Driscoll, given what's happening and the success you're seeing on your House bills and where the Senate bills are moving, would this be something that we would need to take off the list? And I said, quite the contrary. I said, I think it's a good guiding document for the reforms that we're putting forward right now, that there would be a game plan that we could collectively be working from. And so it did obviously stay on the list, and as you've noted, is one of the items for consideration. So just wanted to color and shade some of the background as to where that came from. So you are getting your wish and request.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, I've said this on other legislative audits as well. I welcome audits not because I'm a glutton for punishment, because I do truly believe they provide a valuable service to the taxpayers of the state and to the departments. We need those audits to find out where there are deficiencies. I think, and I don't know that this is in any of the legislation, that it would be prudent to have a periodic program and financial audit of the trust lands, so that we do. It shouldn't be 14 years. I mean, this is one of the things that really surprised me, is when I found out the last audit was 1998. Given something that's this significant, this important, I just thought that was not very good. So I thank you for raising that, and I'm delighted to be engaging in that.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience, Senator Bach. We anxiously await to hear from you, as we referenced you a number of times this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank all of you for putting this issue on the front burner. Many of us have cared about this for a long time and have had a hard time getting traction under it. And in defense of the department, I mean, I have been here long enough to watch legislators direct the department to do things that are not in the best interest of the trust fund. And it's happened a lot. There is plenty of blame to go around. If there's any mismanagement of lands relative to the trust, the legislature, on many occasions over my tenure here, shares in the blame. But Commissioner, one thought, as I heard you talk about the hybrid model of some land, some cash from the federal government for the trust land in the Boundary Waters. My assumption is our holdings in the Boundary Waters, we own the mineral rights on that. Please don't take us down the road where we trade off surface for surface value and we ignore billions and billions and billions of dollars of mineral rights in the Boundary Waters. Just because the federal government has preempted us from mining there doesn't mean our minerals have no value. The federal government does not have enough money, or will never appropriate enough money, to buy the mineral rights on that 90,000 acres of land. That land should be changed ideally, ad valoremly, but at a minimum, acre for acre, with some cash, and we should get the same equivalent mineral rights in that Canadian Shield rock that we're giving up in the Boundary Waters. It is the same mineral rights that we're mining on the Iron Range, that they're mining in Ontario. It's the same piece of rock. I mean, over the next hundred or hundreds of years, there is billions and billions and billions of dollars of opportunity for the school fund. So just a word of caution about the idea of taking cash, and that the only thing that has any value is the surface, because there's much more to it than that. So that's just a word of caution outside the bill. And let me say, members of this committee, there is a lot of work to do here, and I would suggest let's focus on the doable. Okay? Let's figure out, and I've had conversations personally with the governor on this subject, and I think the Senate's approach is pretty close, at least, with a couple small revisions to something that the governor's willing to accept. And then let's talk about what additional direction can we give to the department in the short term here to get some things done. For instance, let's give them some direction to sell riparian school trust fund land, which this legislature currently prohibits, because they have to come back to the legislature to sell any riparian school trust fund land. Give them the authority to sell the riparian school trust fund land that does not have a natural resource or recreation purpose, and then have them come back with a list of school trust fund riparian land that they don't think should be sold, that they think it's in the best interest of our citizens to retain. And then let's figure out how we're going to buy the trust status out of that in the next legislative session. And it may be hundreds of millions of dollars of land that, and I know of some school trust fund land on riparian lakeshore land that we shouldn't sell, that it's in the public interest to keep. Some of it's on Lake Superior. And let the department inventory that, figure out what they should sell, let them sell it, and then have them come back with what we shouldn't sell, and then let's let the legislature figure out how to appropriate money to buy the trust status out. That's doable. That's something, I think, in addition to the Senate language. So let's focus on what we can do, then let's figure out where we can go beyond that to actually get some things done. My concern is, a year from now, we're going to have a new legislature. A third of the legislature will be new. There'll be at least 60 new people. 59 of them, maybe all 60 of them, won't know we even have a permanent school fund or have permanent school trust on land, and we'll be starting all over. So there's a great deal of work to do here. So I think we should try to figure out where the governor can accept something so we can get something signed, and then let's figure out beyond where the Senate is what makes sense. Otherwise, some of us are going to be back here next year, and well, I know I might not be one of them, but are going to be starting all over. And then, Commissioner, my request of you and the governor's office and MMB is, Representative Dietrich mentioned the minerals management account. That came from the governor in 2005. It was in the House Omnibus Environment Finance Bill, and the Senate didn't want it. And members, we pushed it up to June 30th. The Senate did. That year, we were in special session. The state parks that afternoon were not allowing new visitors. They had closed them on June 30th and were not letting people in. And finally, late that afternoon, with the state parks closed, the Senate agreed to pass the Environment Finance Bill with that mineral management account in it. And we have lost $3 million a year. And you know how I know that? I was the author of the Omnibus Finance Bill that year. And Dennis Osmond was the author in the House. And we put a two-year sunset on that, that we were only going to take under duress, facing a shutdown of the state parks. We were going to agree to do this for 2 years in the 2005 session for FY6 and FY7. The next legislature came along and took the sunset off. Now, since FY06, the legislature has usurped $24 million out of the trust fund, just in that one little thing. So, Commissioner, my request is, I don't know if we're going to get anything done here. This is heavy lifting. But hopefully we will, is when you prepare your budget for next year, please don't bring the legislature a budget that continues taking $3 million out of the trust to finance the Division of Lands and Minerals. I think, and I believe the governor is willing to raise some alternative revenue to do that versus taking it out of the trust. But the legislature is very much to blame for that account. I look forward to passing a bill next year that doesn't have that provision in it. But to all of us, let's focus on what we can get done. There's a lot of work to do here, and I don't know how many more days this session is going to last, but this clock is ticking. And whether that means we direct some work to staff or to subcommittees of members or whatever to work with the department or others, but there's not a lot of time here to get something done. It's a very complex area, and we're very late in the session. And starting over next year would be a big mistake for all of us, and would set us back quite a bit to trying to do something next year. And Commissioner, I appreciate your sincerity in your operational order in trying to do a better job than it's been done by previous administrations, and this is a decades-old problem.
Senator Bach, I'm not sure if there was a question that you wanted from the commissioner. If the commissioner wanted to react, I'll certainly give him the opportunity to react.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, what I might offer as an observation, I think both bills actually propose an administration account. It gets rid of the minerals management account. It gets rid of the forestry suspense account. It creates a trust land administration account, recognizing and acknowledging that there are expenses to administering the trust lands, and I think that might be the solution that you're ultimately looking for.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my concern is that the administration or the legislature write some language that says notwithstanding, and then the work that we've done doesn't mean anything. That's what happens around here. But I have carried legislation, Mr. Chairman, for state parks for a number of years, because 10 of the state parks are in my district. And I can remember asking the department over the years, well, how much of this land you're looking to put in the state park boundary is school trust fund land? And I have taken thousands of acres of school trust fund land out of state park boundary bills over the years, where the department proposed, well, it'd be a good idea to expand the state park, and you will worry about the trust status later, because there's these holding companies. And my Senate members have heard me speak about the holding companies, the Trust for Public Land and the Parks and Trails Council. There's a number of them that buy property and then come to the department. And matter of fact, they make 10% on it. And they're all good people. But then the department has to try to find money to make the acquisitions. So I just appreciate everybody's effort on this and hope that we can get something done on it, because there's just not. I'm very concerned, having talked to the governor today, how many days are left here? And I don't believe there are very many.
Senator Bach, there's something you had mentioned that I want to just do some follow up on. You were indicating about the land swap and not just exchange for surface rights, and if there's the subsurface mineral rights that are there. That could be, you're right, there could be billions of dollars worth of inaccessible assets that are owned by the kids in the state of Minnesota. And I think this issue that we're talking about here, members, rises to an extremely high level right now at a critical crossroads. And that's tantamount to a taking if we can't get to those. And the federal government owes the kids of Minnesota something on that. So we can't just kind of say, well, let's shuffle it over and then maybe next session. We need to do something substantial this session.
Thank you.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you. Senator Bach, thank you for that institutional knowledge. That was very inspiring, and actually it was a speech similar to that you brought to our awareness committee work group that we had going on. But you took it one step further, and I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth. You took it one step further, and you said that minerals management account was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And those of you on the committee, and if you haven't yet, I encourage you to read the Constitution. Representative Downey has made an interesting comment once. He said there is more language, words, on school trust lands in the Constitution than there is on other ways to finance public education. And so from that standpoint, I think it would behoove all of us to get our constitutions out and reread it. But in the Constitution, it does make a provision for net forestry costs to be deposited to the permanent school fund. It does not address the minerals. And so, at least since I have been inspired by Senator Bach, I have always believed that that is unconstitutional, that we have public employees, the DNR, managing our mineral lands, and that they should not be able to also then deduct their expenses, because it is not allowed for in the Constitution, and it was never intended so by the Founding Fathers. So thank you, Senator.
Anyone else for the Commissioner? Commissioner, I'm going to wrap the same way. I'm sorry. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dietrich, if I can just ask Representative Dietrich a real question. So in the management of the minerals on school trust land, do you not think that whoever manages it should be paid for their actual costing? Minerals on school trust land, do you not think that whoever manages it should be paid for their actual cost incurred in the management? I'm not sure I understood what you were saying. I might have missed something, if you don't mind clarifying that.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, we have public employees, the DNR, managing our mineral lands. And so for to have public employees managing our mineral lands and then allowing them to deduct up to $3 million a year from a standing fund is, first of all, I think it's just wrong because they're public employees, first of all. And second of all, I think it is wrong because that is not allocated for in the Minnesota Constitution. And then there are some people, like Representative Rukavina, who actually believes that the expenses are embedded in the leases. And so why would we have a separate account for the DNR to utilize in minerals, in managing the minerals?
Okay.
Representative McNamara?
Thank you. No, that helped clarify. Okay. I wasn't sure I understood it. And thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, I'm just curious. You've alluded to, and Senator Bach mentioned it, and Representative Dietrich. I think a lot of the problem we have is so much statutory language that conflicts with the Constitution. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on that? And I didn't see that, unfortunately, in your letter of concerns. You never once mentioned all the statutes that I believe conflict and tell you to manage the land for what some of us that like to play on that land, maybe to hunt or fish or camp or berry pick or whatever, get to do for free. And that's something probably a Department of Natural Resources would probably like to encourage people to do that. I'm surprised that you don't address any of the statutory really things that have been adopted, especially over the last decade or two. Why was that not addressed?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that my letters were specifically to the legislation that was before us, the House File 2244 and the Senate version as well. We have, in a number of places, identified the list of relevant statutes that relate to trust lands and the challenges they pose, and I'm happy to bring those forward as legislative changes we may need to take, but all I can do is suggest them.
Representative McNamara?
Well, thank you, and apologize. I wanted to clarify to be sure I wasn't wrong. I believe, Commissioner, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, I know in the House bill, we specifically deal with the thoughts that we're asking the new body that we're setting up to come back and identify about the statute's problems. And I'm surprised that you don't comment either positively or negatively on that.
Again, Mr. Landwehr. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that we have identified those laws where there are conflicts, and have advised, brought them to the. In fact, I think the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee may have helped develop that list. There, our liaison with the legislature, if you will, is in many ways those legislative members of the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, and I think they've not seen that list of conflicts, they certainly are aware that they're there. But if you're suggesting what I should do is bring that as a slate of proposals to the legislature to amend, I'm surely that would be a good idea, and I will do that next year.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted the commissioner understand for sure that you are on board, that we in the legislature have been causing a lot of this problem with the legislation that's passed over the last 20 years, specifically talking about managed for natural resource, and I'm paraphrasing now, I had it highlighted. I hope I don't get in trouble. I actually highlighted one of these books for the first time in my 10 years, so I got sick of keep looking for it, so I highlighted it because I wanted to find it again. But two things I wanted to mention. Senator Bach mentioned about the mineral rights, and I'm pretty sure that in our bill, which is in the lands bill and in our omnibus policy bill, which have both passed the House floor, we identify in the exchange, I'm talking now about the boundary water exchange, and it's a little off the bill, but we specifically identify we'd like to see land or land exchanged, and we mentioned the mineral rights could be something, Senator Bach, that could be used to balance. Because the reality, there's no way that we should just get surface rights for surface rights and let them lock up 90 or 86,000 acres of mineral rights. Well, believe you me, they can have our mineral rights over there, but then they should be given ours what we want to get. And I don't know how that's going to work out, because if I'm not mistaken, Senator Bach, I think four of them are active mines today. on federal land, and my guess is they're getting some pretty good royalties, so I don't know that they're going to be willing to give them to us, but we should be real hard on that. And just to that point, Commissioner, I want to make sure, you mentioned the 41,000 acres is a first great step. I certainly agree with that. I think that we need to be sure that our legislation allows that to begin to do this exchange and move forward. But members, this is going to be a tough conference committee because the House has this issue right. We need to make some serious changes. And Senator Bach's right, the way this is going to happen with a signature by the governor and some way, somehow, we have to find a solution. But I think we got a lot of work to do over the next few days here. So I'm glad we're scheduling the next meeting right away in less than 12 hours.
Thank you for the reminder, Representative McNamara. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before we let you go, Commissioner, I think just maybe for the benefit of some of those that are not aware of the differences in managing forests in Minnesota versus Oregon versus Georgia, many of us here maybe are not aware. I'm from northern Minnesota. I'm quite aware of what we have in the forest, but maybe just for the benefit of the other members, I know that sometimes there's some disparaging remarks about the return in the forests of Minnesota, and quite honestly, I don't see that. I think that we've had a pretty darn good return given the type of forest we have, and I think it would be important if you could characterize the type of Minnesota forests versus the Douglas firs in Washington, et cetera. I think that would be helpful for the committee.
Commissioner Landwehr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, a couple points around that, and you cited the example I would give, Senator Carlson. The state of Washington, where they're harvesting, you know, essentially rainforest, it's not unusual. They may have a longer-term rotation. In other words, they have to let their trees grow a little bit longer, but they get $6,000 an acre for trees when they harvest them. In Minnesota, we get $400 an acre. We have the most valuable wood we have right now in Minnesota in terms of the demand is aspen. Well, as the rotation age for aspen, in other words, the time it takes from the time it starts to the time we cut it, 40 to 50 years. So we can turn it around pretty quickly. But aspen right now is selling for about $25 to $30 a cord. And so it's not a high-value wood product. We do sell red pine, for instance. One of your companies up there, Senator Carlson, Potlatch uses red pine for boards. It's a small, much smaller segment. You think of the mills that are out there, Boise, Blandon, Norbord. Typically, they use aspen. The bigger, the more demand is for aspen. So it is a low value tree, and we certainly want to grow other trees. But if there is no demand for it, we can't sell it. So we're always balancing, you know, what do we grow versus what will people buy? And you know, right now we're selling 800,000 cores a year. From state land, there are multiple sources of wood for the forest products industry. We typically represent a quarter of all the wood that is sold from timberland, so private, federal, and county are the other sources. The timber industry is highly dependent on our quarter of the available land, in part because we sell our wood at auction. We go for the best prevailing rate, and so there will always be timber available. If you're a private landowner and you saw that aspen was selling for $50 a cord 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you might say, well, I'm going to hang on to it till it gets back to $50 a cord. Well, it may never. And by the way, aspen, once it's beyond 50 years, 60 years of age, doesn't increase in value. It decreases in value because of rot. So we cut our timber regularly. We sell it on the open market at auction. Aspen is a low-value wood product that's typically ground or chipped. It's not like red oak or black ash or some high value board. It's pulp, and so it is I've used this example before. The fair way to look at the return that the trust is getting is to compare what a public agency like DNR is doing on lands similar to what a private company like Potlatch might be doing on similar lands. Potlatch is a very similar model. They sell land, they sell timber. Potlatch returns about 10% on a dollar, 10% net on a dollar gross. We return about 16 cents on net on a dollar gross. So I think we're very comparable to what private business is doing.
Senator Carlson, follow-up?
No, but thank you for that.
Members, anything else for Commissioner Landwehr? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, you just piqued my interest again in just so many problems we've got with a lot of what we going on. In regards to the Aspen and the selling, isn't it specifically the DNR's policy currently to help keep the mills running? So when the market prices are down and the privates don't want to sell, we sell more of our state land. And hasn't it been the DNR's policy in the past to also include school trust land that way, so we would sell in down markets to keep the mills running?
Commissioner Landwehr.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it is not a policy of the DNR that we are in business to keep companies in business. We are in business of selling lumber. We are in business of selling timber. We sell it at auction, so whatever the market will carry will be our price. But we have a target of 800,000 cords, give or take, and that's what we sell. While it is not our policy to try to keep companies in business, I think it is good business to keep companies in business, because if we don't have a buyer, we can't sell any timber. We don't undercut prices. We sell at auction, so it's what the timber is worth.
Mr. Chair, thank you. But Commissioner, in the last 10 years when the market was up, when, you know, not very long ago, Aspen actually got to $100 a cord, mm-hmm. and the privates just were dumping the market, and there wasn't, we were less of a player, we the state, in the selling of that timber. But when the market dropped and got down in the low 20s and stuff, and the mills really needed some material, didn't the state make up a larger percentage than when it was in the high range of the prices? And then maybe I can just ask the second question. Unfortunately, in the past, didn't we dump school trust land in low markets instead of high markets? And I don't think that's consistent with the constitutional requirements to be maximizing the benefit. I think, again, that goes to some of the statutory language that tells you to manage it for different purposes, but I already asked about three questions there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, two questions in there. The first one relates to does our market share of timber sold change over time? And the answer to that is yes, but it is because other sectors drop out. Either the private sector isn't selling, so even though our volume doesn't change, our market share changes because there's just fewer acres, fewer cords available. So again, our target is 800,000 cords a year, and it vacillates a little bit depending on market demand and what we can supply. But that's our target, and it's not, we don't go to 16 or 1.6 million simply because the private sector stepped out. We are operating under some protocols established by the forestry GEIS back in it was developed in the 80s and 90s. Said here's what's permissible for the state to provide for the long-term health of forests. And so we're operating under the 800,000 cord limit. When the market tanks, private sellers fall out, and the state becomes the seller of choice because, again, we go to auction. To your second point, are we selling timber when it's low and we should be hanging on to it? Well, we sell year in and year out. And again, you can't stockpile wood. You can for maybe a year or two, but you can't stockpile it for long. Our timber buyers want clean wood. They don't want a lot of decay in it. Think of Blandon. Blandon produces high-quality white paper. They get a bunch of heart rot in their aspen. All of a sudden, they have a bunch of flaws in their paper, and they can't sell it. They don't want old wood. They want it as young as possible. So in order for us to maximize our return, we have to sell them good product. So we sell 800,000 cords a year, year in and year out. We have not historically held the trust lands differently than non-trust lands in terms of whether we sell it now or sell it later. What I'm suggesting we will be doing as part of our commissioner's order going forward is we are going to shorten the rotation age on trust lands versus non-trust lands. So we will harvest it more frequently, and that will produce more revenue to the trust.
And if I can just real quickly, thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Commissioner, I think you said that we haven't necessarily, and when I say we, it was before your time, so I'm not picking on you personally, and you got a new forest director who's a great guy because he happens to live in my district. That aside, you are all new to this, but historically, you acknowledge we haven't differentiated, and if we are going to differentiate and feel an obligation to keep the mills running, which I think as a state we do, but if that conflicts with the school trust land, let's use our other state lands to do that, not the school trust lands. And I just want folks to know, you talked about how it managing it for the natural resources benefit. I think, Commissioner, you're talking like a commissioner of natural resources, and I think what we got to get is somebody with a hat on that is thinking of this not only for managing it for sound. You talked about at some point Popple's going to drop off, and you know what? It's losing money every year, even if the market was going up. But there is a window there. If it's 35-year tree, maybe we hold it off till it's 41 or 42 because our thoughts are the market's different. I think if you were wearing a hat for the forest, thinking about forestry for the kids and managing it for the kids, we would be thinking of it differently. And that's, I think, what we have to address. You've laid out a model, the Senate lays out a model, and we've laid out a model kind of trying to get to the same place. I just think it's the road we're going down is a little different. And so, thank you.
Commissioner?
I'm not sure if there's a question.
I just wanted to give you a chance to react, because again, we do want to make sure that we're getting enough information for the committee as we move forward to do the right thing. If there aren't any other, Representative Dietrich.
Yeah, thank you. Senator, I just wanted to respond to something that Senator Carlson said, just because it just seems to, otherwise it'll just come up again and again, and he has talked about the fact that there have been some who have been critical about the management of the forest lands or think that we should be able to get more money or that other states do it so much better than we do or something like that. And that we can't compare ourselves to other states because of other types of forest trees. And we understand that. And that is not the argument that's being made. The argument that's being made is that other states with school trust lands have taken steps to manage the costs of forestry. They have capped their costs at 30 cents on the dollar. We're not trying to say that they have, that our revenue ought to be comparable to theirs or anything like that. And so the state of Washington caps their forestry expenses at 30 cents on the dollar. Here in the state of Minnesota, it is actually the reverse. The DNR spends about 70 cents on the dollar, and we keep about 30 cents on the dollar. So there are just other states that are doing it differently. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. If there are no other questions from members, I just have two things for you, Commissioner. One is, I want to go back to something that Representative McNamara had talked about, and that is wearing the hat of the fiduciary and as the trustee. He mentioned things like fire suppression and some of the other kinds of things and a list of statutory questions and issues and had those been brought forward. Mm-hmm. The last time you and I had a conversation other than today was you were in my office about 4 weeks ago, and I asked for that same type of a list of things. And I think the terms I used was that the legislature's all wet. You've got to let us know what we can do to aid you as the current trustee to be able to help advance the causes for what's best in the kids in the state of Minnesota. So I just wanted to his point reminded me of the conversation that you and I had as well. And it would be nice if we could have had the opportunity to start working on some of those things this session and maybe start breaking some of those hard edges off of the things that are barriers in your way. Which leads me to my second request from you this evening, as I asked the representatives from the Minnesota Department of Education, tell us the things that you would like to see from this committee that would be in the bill that would go before our collective bodies that would help make the job easier from your perspective. We certainly have some ideas, but I want you to have an opportunity to tell the committee as a whole that's going to be making that decision. One thing that I do have is that you said that an advisor placed in MMB seems like a pretty good idea as a neutral party, somebody who can be out there as an independent that would provide aid and assistance. Are there other things that you would like to have us key in on this evening?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, again, that's in the Senate language, so I think I'm suggesting I think that part of the Senate language is good. Now, we do have, in the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee, we do have legislative representation, as you all know. The proposal to create a commission in the House language, I think, is an intention to somehow bring the legislature more fully into these discussions. And I would say if you're not getting that out of the Permanent School Fund Advisory Committee right now, then perhaps that is a good approach, is to figure out how to bring these issues. And there are many of them. And many of the issues that we're facing, and as we've talked about today, require legislative fix. I'm going to throw one out right now, that, you know, the fire suppression costs. I mean, that's $1.6 million that's coming out of the school fund that nobody else who is receiving the benefits of fire suppression is paying. In other words, we suppress fire on private lands, on state lands, on county lands, on federal lands. The only place we get reimbursement for those costs is the Permanent School Fund. That's $1.6 million. Now, of course, if the Permanent School Fund doesn't reimburse it, it has to come from somewhere, and everybody, you know, all other state lands comes from the general fund. So I would also acknowledge that anytime we talk about transferring funds or transferring problems away from the school fund, we're transferring it somewhere else. By way of example, the payment in lieu of taxes, right now the school fund is got the luxury of paying for the in lieu of tax payments on those 2.5 million acres from the general fund. And the reason I didn't bring it before you is because that does not benefit the school fund. If I advise you that probably ought to come from the school fund revenues. But it doesn't. It comes from the general fund. So there are some things that are I think would, if you were open to adding to this bill in terms of legislative fixes, that you could. And I think Senator Bach pointed out one as well. That is, right now, the legislature has to approve any lakeshore sales the department proposes, and that's a hurdle for us. So there are a number of things. I believe there's 8 or 10 different legislative hurdles that I've seen in the list that all could use your scrutiny.
So, Commissioner, you've identified some legislative issues. Can you help us to identify processes that the legislature might do? For example, I kind of heard you maybe say, but I just want to loop back, that maybe not everything that's in the House bill is as bad as you had represented it to be earlier tonight.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe I ever said that.
Well, the words I recall was, if it's not, if what's going to be bad for the kids, it's the House bill. Yeah. And we clarified that that's because nobody heard that, or if we did, we didn't think we heard what we heard. But that's what my recollection was, Commissioner, and that, quite frankly, as the chief author, I found a little offensive, but I'm going to set that aside for the kids' sake tonight. And I also want to just make sure that when we're talking about this, that a legislative commission that would deal with all that laundry list of things plus others that you're talking about may have some benefit to the kids, would you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, I wanted to verify the numbers because I may not have written it down right, and I apologize. When we were talking about the Douglas fir, you said that they could get as much as $6,000 an acre?
$6,000 an acre.
Versus about $400 an acre for aspen?
Correct.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. I guess maybe a point to Representative Dietrich. If Washington is capping their expenses at 30% and they're getting $6,000 an acre, that's $1,800 an acre that their costs are. And in Minnesota, at $400 an acre at 70%, that's only $280 an acre. I guess if I was in Washington, I'd be pretty upset. That sounds like a pretty good value for the people of Minnesota, $280 an acre.
We would welcome those resources, Senator.
Commissioner, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we couldn't spend $1,800 an acre, but we would surely be able to do a lot more than we are.
Representative Dietrich? Okay. Commissioner, anything else that you want to share with the committee this evening as we move forward to massage and merge our bills here?
Mr. Chairman, just thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm delighted to answer any additional questions if you have any, and I will be here for the duration of today and tomorrow as well.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe before the commissioner leaves, and I haven't This is my very first biennium where I haven't been a member of the Environment or the Environment Finance Committee, so I don't, excuse me if those of you that are have already had this conversation, but it doesn't seem unreasonable to me if we have 2.5 million acres of land, most of it open to hunting, that hunters shouldn't pay something for that to the school fund, for the opportunity to access all of that public land. And I know we have a Game and Fish Fund that is going to run in the red, but perhaps when we can legislature considers a fee increase, maybe a dollar off of deer licenses or $2 off of deer licenses with all of that school trust fund land available for deer hunters to hunt on should go to the school fund. And I'm not suggesting we take any money out of an account that's already going in the red, but and I'm sorry if the environment committees have considered that, but that public land open for hunting is a big deal to hunters. And school kids subsidize that. The trust subsidizes that.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask Mr. Senator Bach that maybe if he would vote yes for the fee increase, if it comes up again, maybe we'll dedicate some of that money to it.
Oh, now we're starting to air out our House and Senate laundry in public.
just trying to find a little Senator middle Bach. Ground with my members of the Senate. Pick up the ball, Senator Carlson.
Now all of a sudden I feel like I'm the Senate president here.
Mediating between members.
With that, if there are no other questions in the interest of time, because the committee is going to have to, as you've talked about, time is of the essence in trying to get a viable bill to the governor for signature that both the House and the Senate feel comfortable that they can pass. If there isn't anything else, I would, with the thanks to the committee, appreciate you being here, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
And with that, I'll ask Grace Kelleher to come down as a representative from the School Board Association, as we've heard from the department, and somebody who's out on working with people, boots on the ground, if you will, in our public schools, or working at least closely with those individuals. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association, and I don't have anything long and lengthy to share with you tonight. I know I'm between you and your dinner, so I will keep it brief. The school districts across the state, and I've got some of my colleagues in the room, Brad Lindell from the Schools for Equity and Education, Scott Kuhnquist from the AMSD, Education Minnesota, we're all interested in seeing this wonderful asset that we got when we became a state being used for our children in a more productive way. And as the fiduciary for this, we're asking you to come forward and perform that duty in the best interest of the school children of Minnesota. And I want to, you know, school trust lands have been something I've been working on for 5 years, and Senator Bach started me. I listened to his fire protection stories and finally did my homework and found out he's been right all along. And it's
Ms. Kelleher, I think that Senator Bach would like you to repeat that last statement a couple of times.
Is the tape running?
Well, he certainly deserves it. But there's been a frustration, and once you find out about this subject, there's no going back. You have to do something to change the present situation. And I think one of the comments tonight that the commissioner of the DNR does a great job as the commissioner of the DNR, it just doesn't sound a lot like a trustee. And I challenge you to consider when you've heard an advocate for the kids come forward and say that land or that law you're thinking of would be hard on the trust fund. It might delay it. I think Representative McNamara nailed it. We need an advocate, and we need a structure that will support an accountable system for the kids. And the present system doesn't work. Blended, commingled funds make it difficult to say who's right and who's wrong, and there's a blame game that goes on. And in the end, the only people that lose are the school children of this state. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to conclude, and I will be here as much as I can to help you along your path, and I so appreciate your dedication to the children of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kelleher. Questions that any of the committee members may have for Ms. Kelleher? If not, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One of the things that we do have, again, a golden opportunity in front of us. This issue has never gotten this far in the legislature with as much bipartisan support as it has. And I dare say that we're in a crisis stage, but there's a saying that's been going around the last few years that says, never waste a good crisis. And this is, I think, where we are at if we don't move this forward. And you can say whatever sports analogy you want. We knock it out of the park, if we're going to hit a good double, if we're going to, you know, do a Hail Mary, or we're going to just block and tackle and just move it down the ball down the field, we can't stay on the sidelines. We have to do something. And so with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to in anticipation of tomorrow's discussion, I'd like to defer to Senator Cruz this evening for some discussion about format or having conversation about the term I've been using is merging and massaging the two bills into a viable document that both the House and the Senate can sign off on and that the governor feels comfortable with. But before that, Senator Carlson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so just maybe before Senator Cruz sort of wraps this up, I think Representative McNamara probably put it very well. We have three models really before us. We have the commissioner's model, the operation order, where the trustee stays within the DNR. We have a Senate model where we have an advisor that is outside the DNR. And then we have the House model where we have an entirely new agency and a director. And what I thought I heard Senator Bach say that, and I agree with Senator Bach, whatever we need to do, whatever we do, we have to get something done. And you couldn't be more right, Mr. Chairman. We have to get this done. And it has to be something the governor can sign. Given the fact that we have these three models, and they are very far apart, all the way from the commissioner's model all the way to the House's model. And maybe, I'm not sure if this is where you were going to go, Senator Cruz, but I guess it seems to me the most logical method, if we were to take that Senate model, find where there's things that the House can't agree with and do whatever tweaking we need to do in consultation with the governor so that we know whatever we do going forward is going to get passed. The thing I hate about being here in the legislature is having all these lofty ideas and being stuck on an idea even if I can't get it done. I would rather, as the chair said, at least get the ball closer to the goal line. I don't want to be stuck at midfield anymore, and I don't think anyone else does. And I'm new to the process. And so my recommendation is we start with Senator Cruz's bill, because otherwise it's going to be, we'll be here until, it'll make the shutdown look like it was fun. And then work from that. That's just a suggestion.
Senator Cruz?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Carlson, Senator Carlson. I appreciate that, and I think very highly of our bill, and I think that would be a great place to start. I'm also very cognizant of the fact that part of what we do here is cooperation, and that we have friends on the other side of the building that, with a very, very strong vote, voted their language off the House floor as well. And I think it's important to remember that we have to get it back through that House before we can even get it to the governor. And I want to be cognizant of that. I do think the Senate has some very, very strong language. And I think the direction that we would like to head, and I have to, you know, apologize to the committee members, we're very cognizant of the fact that this is heavy lifting, as Senator Bach had mentioned, and I got to be honest, it's pretty humbling as a freshman senator to be sitting in front of you. This is the first committee that I've chaired. Tomorrow will be the first time that I have a gavel, and I couldn't be more cognizant of how important this issue is for the children of Minnesota, and to make sure that we put something together that can not only get passed, but also has teeth. And that's the fine line that we're going to walk as we go through this process. We need to make sure that we make a difference. That when we leave this, just like Senator Bach had mentioned, that we had done something. Because the institutional knowledge I can tell you, especially as I mentioned, as a freshman walking into this thing, I thank God for Denise Dietrich being able to kind of be my housemate and catch me up on some of these issues. I'm not the DNR guy. I'm not the Environment Committee guy. So I can speak personally to the need for that institutional knowledge, and we do have a lot of folks on in both the House and the Senate that are going to be retiring. We're going to have a lot of new faces back here, and to try and catch all of them up again is going to be very, very difficult. So I want to make sure we get something done, and I almost wonder if the best way to do this, and this is kind of the direction I wanted to take the committee tomorrow morning. And again, I apologize for the 7:30 start time, but we did want to make sure that we get this done. We know we're going to have to spend some time on this. What I would like to see happen is we're going to start dissecting the bill. We're going to start looking at, first of all, what are the things that we can agree on? And what I would humbly request is before we meet back here tomorrow morning at 7:30 is let's have a list. Let's each of us come to the table with a list of things that we consider priorities. And let's start bringing those together, see how many of those things we can agree on, and then we will. I think it was a great idea to have the testimony that we had tonight, because now we have a really good idea not only where the Department of Natural Resources is coming from, but also our education community. So I think that's where we would like to take it tomorrow, is just everybody come to the table, and I think Chairman O'Driscoll and I are going to sit down, and we're going to try and do some of that too, to as chairs of this committee, attempt to provide a little bit of direction and maybe a framework. Obviously, that's something that is very workable, and we are going to put through the committee process. But I think that's probably the direction that I would like to personally see us take.
Any thoughts, reactions, if that's going to be our game plan as we're due back here in 10 hours and 58 minutes? Representative Dietrich.
Thank you. I have a question for Senator Cruz. Did you have, for tomorrow's agenda, did you also want Representative Chair O'Driscoll to also go through his bill and kind of show how it works? Is that what I'm hearing you say? Both of you will, or just do the Senate side?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Dietrich, I think that maybe that would be a great place to start off. Just a brief. I don't want to spend too much time on it, because I think that we've all sat in committees and heard the language, and I know that for our members, we each got side by sides as soon as they had come off the press. So we've had a little bit of time to look at that, and I think with a brief description of both bills, maybe from the authors as a starting place, we can move into those lists and
I would appreciate that. Thanks.
And start moving forward.
And Representative Dietrich did ask that something of that nature be done early on in our conversation tonight. I think she also had some questions she was going to want to be asking, and we asked her to defer those questions until we got to that point. So, Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe I could suggest that the chairs sit down with the commissioner or somebody from the department, and let's just have the department kind of identify where the real clinkers are, so we don't spend a bunch of time on things that we know we're going to have the department up here to testify on and have questions, and just waste a whole bunch of time on things that the department just is not going to advise the governor to support. So maybe we can just kind of rule some things out and not have to spend a lot of committee time by the chairs spending a little bit of time with the department. Let's kind of go through it maybe with a marker, and maybe we can X some things out that we're just not going to be able to find a way for the department to support. It might make our narrow down what we have to consider, and it might make our job a little easier. Just a suggestion for the chairs.
Senator Bach, thank you for that suggestion, but I still go back to the comment that Commissioner Strong alluded to the fact that the House bill is not a preferable bill, and we're here representing the House.
I'm a former House member, I understand that. And I've been housebroke.
So I appreciate what you're looking at and where you're going with that, and I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying that from what I heard from the commissioner, I have a sneaking suspicion there's going to be a lot of X's through the House's position and a lot of stars and smiley faces on the parts of that are in the Senate bill, which I can't go back to 134 people and say, we got rolled on this deal because we deferred to the DNR on it.
Blame the governor.
So I guess what I would do is I would ask for reaction to Senator Cruz's idea of members putting some priorities together of what they would see, and we can be back here tomorrow morning and take a look at that. And maybe we can have a chance to put some skeleton together to look at where there's commonality and where we think we can at least find some common ground. And again, it's only going to get busier on both floors as the week goes on, but we do need to continue to move this forward. Yep. If there's anything else for the good of the committee this evening, then we will see everyone back here at 7:30 tomorrow morning, ready to discuss language in both bills and merge and massage.
Are we moving to the Capitol?
112. Yes. Again, Mr. Chairman and members, that will be 7:30 and 112 in the Capitol.
One moment. Senator Bach, have you been away from the SLB that long that you kind of get lost on the way over? Is that
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with leaving everything at the table in this room and reconvening here.
And that's what I was wondering, if that wouldn't be.
But I don't know, this room may be booked, so I...
Just 1 second. Do we have the ability to have this room, or do we have to schedule out, or what do we need?
Well, we should do, we're going to do 112.
All right, we're for sure going to be in the Capitol 112 tomorrow. Put your stuff back in your folders, and we'll get that transferred over this evening. See everyone at 7:30 tomorrow. With that, we stand adjourned.